The battle between conservative and liberal ideologies has never been more intense. While many view conservatism as merely opposition to progressive ideas, true conservatism offers a positive philosophy of hope, individual empowerment, and practical solutions. America's status as the world's preeminent superpower establishes its greatness, but its goodness stems from being a positive force globally. Despite critics who fixate on historical flaws like slavery, they ignore how America's founding actually accelerated abolition. Through American ingenuity, we've given the world countless innovations, from airplanes to integrated circuits. Our nation's mission to promote freedom continues because people everywhere desire it. We've consistently fought dictatorships and communist regimes, not democracies. Free nations rarely attack each other. They become trading partners instead. America's generosity is unmatched. After the 2004 Indonesian tsunami, Americans donated an astounding $1.8 billion, with over a third of Americans contributing personally. This combination of military strength, innovative spirit, and moral purpose has made America not just great, but good. Separation of church and state appears nowhere in the Constitution, yet is often invoked to limit religious expression. The First Amendment protects freedom of religion, not freedom from it. When the Constitution was crafted, states maintained their own established religions, some requiring officeholders to affirm Protestant Christianity, others simply requiring belief in God. These state churches continued until 1833, decades after the Constitution's ratification. Modern separationists have misunderstood the Establishment Clause, treating any religious expression in government as unconstitutional. They've tried removing "In God We Trust" from currency and "Under God" from the pledge. Even Thomas Jefferson, often cited by separationists, believed in divine providence, calling the Revolutionary War a holy war. His attendance at a Capitol religious service the same day he wrote his famous Danbury Baptist letter shows he never intended to remove religion from public life. Our founding fathers would be dismayed to see their religious foundation so undermined. Character flaws in leaders directly impact national security. Bill Clinton granted Laurel Corporation a waiver for missile technology to China, despite Justice Department objections, after receiving large campaign contributions from Laurel's CEO. This resulted in a $20 million fine and enabled China to develop missiles threatening American military capabilities. Such flaws make leaders vulnerable to compromise. Warren Harding was blackmailed by a German sympathizer, while JFK's reckless liaisons with women and mobsters were irresponsible, dangerous, and demeaning to the office. These flaws serve as warning signs. Jennifer Flowers presaged Clinton's later issues, while Nixon's power-hungry comments during the Alger Hiss case foreshadowed Watergate. We shouldn't expect perfect presidents, but they should be free of dangerous character flaws. George W. Bush demonstrated character by admitting his past drinking problem, while Al Gore's pattern of unnecessary lies, from creating the internet to fabricating stories about medication costs, cost him the 2000 election. What does it say when we overlook character flaws until it's too late? The left's anti-gun stance reveals hypocrisy when celebrities denounce firearms while hiring armed security, suggesting elites deserve protection while ordinary citizens don't. In reality, handguns are used defensively against criminals over 2 million times annually, 5 times more often than for crimes, and 128 times the murder rate. States with concealed carry laws have experienced 89% fewer murders and 82% fewer injuries in public shootings, while 90% of mass shootings occur in states without such laws. Before the 1995 federal law creating gun-free zones around schools, shootings averaged less than one annually, but increased afterward, effectively creating safe zones for criminals by removing deterrence. The author refutes claims that gun control reduces crime, noting that after Australia's 1997 gun ban, homicides rose 3.2%, assaults 8.6%, and armed robberies 45%. Firearms remain the only inanimate objects specifically protected in the Constitution. Jefferson viewed guns as protection against government tyranny, while Washington believed they restrain evil, underscoring that self-defense is fundamental to all other freedoms. Traditional family structures have declined dramatically, with only 20% of American households fitting this model today, down from 40% in 1970. Cohabitation has increased from 439,000 couples in 1960 to over 5 million by 2008. Contrary to popular belief, couples who lived together before marriage have a 67% divorce rate compared to 45% for those who don't. Out-of-wedlock births have surged since 1960, rising from 2.3% to 29.4% among white children and from 23% to 72.2% in the black community by 2012. Overall, about 41% of American children are now born outside marriage, often growing up without fathers. The sexual revolution transformed American families, with free love promoting consequence-free promiscuity. Birth control pills and Roe v. Wade accelerated these changes, leading to devastating social outcomes. Violent crime rates increased nearly fivefold between 1960 and 1991, while teen suicide rates nearly tripled from 1964 to 1990. This raises a critical question. How can stable families be rebuilt in a culture that prioritizes temporary pleasure over lasting commitment? The left often uses class warfare to divide voters, particularly targeting successful entrepreneurs with terms like income distribution that imply wealth comes at others' expense. In truth, entrepreneurs take enormous risks with high failure rates, yet drive economic progress and create societal wealth. When Bill Gates and Paul Allen founded Microsoft in 1975, they couldn't predict Gates would become the world's richest man. Despite criticism of his wealth, Microsoft transformed computing and boosted the global economy. Ironically, Gates gained liberal acceptance only through philanthropy, celebrated for giving away money, but criticized while creating millions of jobs. During America's 1990s economic boom, nearly 79,000 businesses failed annually. Most people avoid entrepreneurial risks yet resent others' success. America's greatness stems from innovators like Edison, Ford, and Gates. Most technological advances of the past century originated from American entrepreneurs, not from genetic superiority, but because our system allows people to dream, create, build, and retain most of what they earn. Ronald Reagan's presidency has grown more esteemed as Americans recognize his wisdom, optimism, and patriotism that arrived during national demoralization. His vision was straightforward: restore American optimism and economic strength while defeating the Soviet Union. Though critics portrayed him as bumbling, Reagan was deeply intellectual, developing positions through experience and extensive reading. Initially a New Dealer to the core, Reagan admired FDR's optimism rather than his policies. His perspective shifted after FDR's 1944 Second Bill of Rights speech, which transformed from pursuing happiness to guaranteeing it, establishing modern liberalism's foundation. As governor, Reagan stood firm against the counterculture, famously telling a boastful student, "We didn't have those things when we were young. We invented them." Reagan's agenda focused on reducing government and taxes while fighting inflation domestically and strengthening the military internationally. His 23% tax cut doubled federal revenues, creating America's longest peacetime expansion. Inflation fell from 13.3% to 4.4%, and interest rates from 21% to 8%. While many claim the Soviet collapse was inevitable, Reagan both predicted and engineered it. What if America returned to Reagan's principles of limited government, individual freedom, and moral clarity?